Welcome to the Passive Income Podcast. I am your host, Dividend Dave. Please be sure to join the Passive Income Posse by clicking that subscribe button below. Super excited to have another returning guest here as we're kind of making it a theme in the month of November, bringing people back from like a year ago. So welcome, Dividend Dog.
Oh, yeah. What's going on? What's going on, Dave? Thank you for having me back on. Yeah, man, I'm happy to be here and have another great conversation with you. So what's been going on with you? I know it's been a while since.
Yeah, awesome. Well, first, thank you for coming on again. I really appreciate you spending some time with me. So, yeah, I know. It's hard to believe it's been a year already. I know that you were also there on that 50th birthday bash live stream, but
that was also
kind of crazy with. There was like myself plus 6, 7, 8 other people on the screen at the same time. So that was quite hard.
And was Ryan there too, I think, maybe?
Oh, I Boomer Dividend was there.
Okay, yeah.
I think Millennial Mojo, Steve was there. Yeah, you're okay. Right. Darth was there. I can't even remember everybody that was there. I'd have to go back and rewatch it because there was also people coming and going too. So it was
right.
It was a lot of fun, obviously.
Time, yeah.
so let's just get into it and see what's happened in the past year. And I know that I've seen a lot of your posts about EVs, electric vehicles, Tesla, obviously. And a year ago, you were rather bullish on Neo, I believe it was. And
yes,
I think I've seen in the past year some tweets where maybe you're not quite as bullish anymore. So I guess, what are your thoughts on the EV market, on Tesla, on Neo, on everything else in that category?
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not as bullish on Neo as I was prior to. It's just because the market isn't respecting like the company itself. So, like, it's not going to give it any drive. And obviously, it's not going to get that price to help drive the stock. So, you know, it's just going to sit there and spin tires and just get beat up like it's currently doing right now. But overall, I think what the company has to offer for EVs, if that's what we're talking about, I think it's really cool. You know, with their battery as a service option, their battery swap stations, like they're still doing those things. They're just having a hard time being profitable. But I just actually, funny you brought up Neo. Actually, I always stay up on them and I still read articles on them just to keep up with what they're doing. Because like I said, I like the company just overall. And right now, they're still planning to come to the U.S. by 2025 for EVs. And as you guys can see in the market, I mean, Tesla obviously has a huge market share, you know, just with their early innovation of with Elon and really driving the Tesla brand. So, yeah, now we see, you know, his hard work. Like now it's like you can see it now. Now, other companies are not just getting their feet off the ground. Now, it's a hard market you got to have capital to be successful in this. You got to have history. You got to have customers. You got to have something. You got to have a message to sell. So like companies like Neo, they have to do all of those things and be profitable and have the capital to compete, to even say, hey, we're a competitive, you know, company as well. So that was one of my losers there. You know, I'm always happy to talk about it. But that's a company I still think 20 years down the line, who knows, you know, what could possibly happen just because, you know, they're still driving that brand. And over where they're at in Japan and China, you know, that's a huge EV market over there. And that's, you know, that's where they're driving. They're driving it over in Europe as well. So I'm not like counting them out. They're just like struggling really bad right now. But you still have a lot of investors on Twitter and they're still buying Neo, that are charting Neo. And you got some guys that trade the heck out of the stock. It's a crazy stock that you can trade too, you know, to get some, you know, some options in there. But speaking on the EV market again, General Motors now, you know, I work for General Motors and, you know, we have a lot of EVs that are coming out here in the next year or 2 years. You know, we got the Blazer EV that just won SUV of the year for Motor Trend. So that's a positive there. You know, we starting to see customers purchase those vehicles from the dealerships. So that one is there. You got the Bolt EV, you got Bolt EUV. Now these cars that I just mentioned, that's just from Chevrolet. Now with General Motors, you have Buick, GMC, you got Chevrolet, you have Cadillac. So you essentially have three brands under one entity at GM. So and all three of those brands are going EV as well. But they're also keeping their ICE vehicles, meaning they're still keeping the cars with the engine. We're just going to have a larger portfolio of cars. So if you want to drive an EV, you can. But if you want to stay in your engine car and upgrade into the newest Equinox or the newest Silverado, you can do that as well. If you want to drive a Silverado EV, you can do that as well. Now, I test drove a Silverado EV out in Vegas this 2 weeks ago at a conference. And I got to say, the thing is pretty awesome. I mean, you have almost a little bit over 500 horsepower in a truck there. And, you know, there's a couple cool things that are going to be coming too, where you're going to be doing EV to EV charging. So say if your EV, Dave, your EV is out of battery, I can essentially plug up our chargers and have an adapter for it. That's all going to be purchased and accessories and all that. Just like you can go to the store and get Apple products the exact same way how we're going to have it. But you'll be able to take some of your power and transfer it to someone else to give them a boost, essentially get on by their way. So just in case someone does run out of battery, you know, those will be ways. Now, this is going to be universal now. Like, it's going to be able, eventually it's going to be able, you'll just plug into any EV and be able to do this. So by me seeing this, you know, in my field and at work, you know, it's not going to be here by 2020. They're not going to say, hey, everyone's going to be driving it, you know, by this certain amount of time, but that market is growing. You know, it's going to be a thing. And you're going to be able to sell your power back to the grid and make money from EVs. You're also going to get a lot of tax incentive as well, you know, from the government to drive an EV, you know? So it's just like all types of incentives to help drive the customer. Now, I think GM, you know, after all the strike allegations with Ford and Stellantis, I think, you know, we have a leg up in the system, not just only because I like love GM, but just because we have a dealership almost at every corner of our neighborhood. You know, we have rich history. Yeah. Like, dealers have long histories with customers. Like, the customers have been buying their grandpas have been buying their dads bought their Chevrolets there. Like, those small towns, those towns where Tesla can't reach to, those customers there. So I feel like those companies that can reach those customers and already have that relationship, when something new comes across and say, hey, this is what we're innovating to and this is what we're, you know, driving, they're already going to have that relationship there. It's not going to be anything where you hopping in and you got to drive to a certain dealership. I mean, you can't drive to a Tesla dealership as quickly as you drive to a Ford, a Stellantis, or a GM dealership. So that's sure. My take on it. And it's a slow and turning like industry. You know, it's the automotive industry. Things go, it's very cyclical. So, you know, like the strike industry, you know, the strike took stocks that whole from Ford, Stellantis, stocks went all the way down. GM went from what, 36 all the way down to 29, 27 bucks just because of that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just because right. They stopped selling cars or anything like that, or the dealership shut down, or, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't any, you know, it was more so just a little process that looks like it could have slowed down something, but it really wasn't, you know, it slowed down as much as the news made it. So I'm bullish on, you know, GM, and I'm bullish on Tesla as well. Now Tesla does have a huge take now in the home energy sector now, where you're going to be able to charge your EVs, you know, from the battery pack, and then you'll be able to charge your home from it as well, or power your home from it. Now, Tesla is now offering those types of packs to power homes, aka their generators, and they've already got a huge market share of that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think GM is going to come with that as well, and they're going to have their own type of GM energy sector where they're going to be basically competing with Tesla in that industry as well. So, yeah, they're innovating. The more, you know, you read about it and you see that they're also coming together too. You know, Tesla is opening up all the charging networks, right? So it's like, all right, we can all play safe now. and everybody can make money at the same time. But at the end of the day, they're trying to come together and show like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're all working together. Now all the customers are going to want to, you know, have a way of charging their vehicles. And there's routes now with GM, with our Super Cruise, that you can drive from LA to Detroit on the Super Cruise, hands-free. So there's already a route, there's routes already routed out. And the more these cars drive, they're going to report all that data back. And it's going to only improve right now. So I think it's a big thing coming in. And once customers, I feel, see that there's a lot of incentives behind it, because, I mean, who doesn't want to go buy a car and save money, right? Especially on taxes. And there's going to be some cool EVs. And it's all going to be at the right price point. That's the first thing that we always talk about. Like, well, I'm not going to spend 40 grand or 50 grand on a Tesla. Well, you can get into a Bolt EV, or you can get into something in that price point at 35,000. So it's also going to be priced right for the customer at every vehicle in GM's portfolio. So, yeah.
Wow, that's an incredible overview of the entire EV market. Thank you so much, because more than I was expecting, but great. Like I said, just an absolutely incredible overview. I am just curious, going back to NIO, do you still have a position in NIO, and you're just kind of hanging tight and seeing what happens?
I completely got out of it. The only reason I did was because I started setting goals where I'm like, all right, I want to get this amount of shares of like ET, SCHD. And then I'm like, well, I'm burning money here in NIO. And the more I read about it, it's not a profitable company. And the more I read like anything relatively that Warren Buffett has touched, it's like, it's got to be a profitable company, or anything that I see having successful. I know, understand the 10 baggers and like, yeah, that's how I was thinking, but I couldn't really base my portfolio starting out by having a lot of NIO. And then I got rid of it, and I think I got rid of it at like $11, and then it just was just all the way down from there. But at one point, I think I rode it all the way up to like $45-$50 or at some point like that. And I was rolling up pretty good with it at one point, you know what I'm saying? And then it just hit the bathroom on me, so got flushed. So no more NIO.
That's unfortunate. The hindsight being 2020, you're like, if only I had sold that at 40 or 35 or whatever, right?
Right. If only I knew how to read charts then, right? But wow. No more NIO now. But I, like I said, I like the company. So like, I'm always reading up on them, and like the cars look awesome. I mean, the technology in these cars that are going to come out now, I mean, it's going to be remarkable. I've seen, you know, some cars out when I was out in Vegas that we're coming out with in our EVs. I mean, the technology, the screens, the safety features in the vehicles,
right.
It's going to be awesome for the consumer. So, yeah.
So I am also curious a little bit more about NIO before we move on, but
yeah,
what I really see as their competitive advantage is that battery swap option, whereas you can go in and out, kind of like filling your gas or diesel, you're in and out of the gas station in 5 minutes, whereas like
out of there,
you're what, 25, 35 minutes?
You're sitting there. You're still, that's where I'm like, that is their moat right there. If they continue to, like, if they can get profitable before they get here in the U.S. and show how awesome that battery swap is. And another cool thing, too, Shell has already inked up with them that they're going to have the battery swaps at all the Shell gas stations. So I'm just like,
just
all
get
right,
to the U.S. Like, it's the biggest economy in the world. Just get to the U.S. and
that's all I was thinking. I'm like, but I don't know if I can hold the stock any longer. You know, I was like, I got to let it go. But I'm still a fan of the company. Big fan.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's got very good potential in the future. But and I understand your reasoning for selling out of it. Just if it's not profitable, I don't want to.
Yeah, and I had a couple friends too. They got in with me, and you know, I was really sad. I was like, all right, guys, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm never gonna like that. That's it. I was like, you can hold NIO and MPW over my head as long as I'm alive. But I'm like, I'm not. No more plays like that. I'm sorry. I was like, everything. I'm I'm studying it left and right. I'm reading everything about it. So, yeah.
But that's why we always say not financial advice. You're just listening to two people having a conversation here.
Yes, not financial advice, guys. But I, like I said, I'm a still big fan of the company. They got the Neo Park just finished over there too, where it's a whole complete like lifestyle of Neo. They got Neo stores, coffee and office shops. You know, they got the huge battery plants and factories over there where they're going to be pushing out these Neo cars. I'm just like, what are they building this for? This is an $8 stock and they're doing all of this. I was like, something is not making sense right now.
Right.
And it's just, that's my question on that stock. Every time I look, I'm like, every time I read on it, they're doing something positive. Like they just, honestly, they just cut like 10% of their employees. Just last week, I read that this morning too. And I'm like, okay, they're not being profitable right now. They're doing a lot of R&D, research and development. So like, I can see why, you know, they may need to cut back on some help right now until they, you know, they get more stable, but they're still delivering cars and people are still ordering them over there. So, and I still see YouTube videos of guys test driving them and, you know, using the Nomi system that's in there. It's a remarkable car. And you know, they got the Neo phone too, that's coming out. You know, they're trying to make it a lifestyle like Tesla, like Apple.
Like Apple and Tesla.
Yeah. Everybody's chasing Apple, right? So it's like, you know, they're trying to, you know, swirl their way into that type of you know, company. So like I said, it's a company that's always gonna stay on my watch list. I'm always gonna watch what it's doing. I'm always gonna look at a chart of it. Like I'm always knowing what Neo's gonna do, just because you never know, man. You wake up one day, this sucker's off to the moons, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
you being in the industry, in the automotive industry as well, I'm sure there's a little, you know, added extra incentive to be up to date on everything in that market. Right.
And it's kind of cool, too, with my job that I get to talk about cars. I love cars, you know, and I love the Corvette. So it's awesome that I get to work for GM. But, you know, talking EVs, you know, with my dealerships and stuff. So It feels like I'm never like really not like working, but I am working, but it's like, I'm talking to EVs and then I'm like, oh wow. But I know about these companies. I know I can, I can feel, I'm like passionate about it, you know, when I'm talking, cause this is going to be huge. So I look forward to it. A lot of people aren't looking forward to it, but we're still going to have the ICE vehicles. Like you're still going to have your cars with engines. So they're not completely knocking that completely off.
Okay, moving on from Neo, but sticking with the EV electric vehicles, and you mentioned several Chevy products that will be coming out soon, or General Motors, GM. Mm-hmm. I guess we've talked a little bit about Tesla. Maybe some more thoughts on Tesla, the Tesla ticker, TSLA, I believe it is, and sort of where you see that going. Like right now, it's Is it a fair value? Is it priced high, low? What are your thoughts on I guess
on Tesla? So
everything around Tesla.
Okay, so like obviously I'm not against Tesla or anything. I think Tesla's a cool company. You know, I said I was gonna stop doing some buying here, you know, before the start of the new year, but Tesla dipped under $200 and I grabbed like 3.5 shares on Thursday under when it got under $200 at some point. And I think it's not fairly valued right now. I still think it got some downside action. It could, my screener here on StockRover saying it's fair valued at $187.58. So we could see some downward action. They're saying a margin of safety is at -15%. With a price target of $239.08. So with that being said, this is not financial advice, but if I'm looking at to buy a Tesla, I don't think this right here is a bad area to start grabbing some shares. I mean, if you buy it right now at 219 and it dips under $200, this is me hypothetically thinking. If I buy this now and if it dips under $200, that's totally fine. I know going into this that it's going to continue to go down, but I want to start somewhere. I don't want to sit on the sidelines and wait till it goes to 187 because I don't know if it's going to go there. So I have to take action on a price that I see now that's not as high as it was in the past, what, couple of months. What it was, right. What, hovering over, what, 240 here? What, the past couple of months?
Yeah, I think so, around that.
Yeah, so, yeah, 219 right now on a mediocre, I would say, you know, little correction that we're having. I mean, after the week last week, I mean, you know, who knows, you know, where we can end up at by the end of the year, you know, with the Santa rally and, you know, earnings and everything like that. So, I mean, yeah, I think, I wouldn't mind grabbing some shares right now, if I were someone, you know, once again, not financial advice, but
yeah. Just keep saying that part, right? Make sure that everyone knows, hey, go and buy Tesla, but I'm not telling you to buy Tesla.
Yeah, I'm not telling you, but yeah, I keep seeing, you know, different things on, I saw an article yesterday saying ARK is saying that Tesla's going to be $2,700 per share by like 2027. I'm like, what? Yeah, how is that even going to be possible?
Yeah, what kind of market cap would that create?
Like, I have no idea. But Tesla is more than just an EV company. They got the home energy, you know, and what else? They got the batteries and the cars too. So, yeah. Right.
So okay, as you probably know, you've probably seen pictures of my 2002 F-250, so you know I'm a truck guy.
Big blue,
you've seen those pictures. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For anybody who hasn't seen the pictures, I'll post a new one soon on Twitter. It's in incredible shape. There obviously is some issues. It's, you know, nearly a 22-year-old truck at this point. And obviously, I've, you know, checked out a lot of YouTube videos and done a lot of reading on the F-150 Lightning. It looks like an incredible pickup truck coming out.
Yeah.
And so just, again, sticking with this EV market, because I know you're knowledgeable in the automotive industry. So I guess, what are your thoughts on EV trucks, the F-150 Lightning, the Rivian, that Cybertruck?
Yeah.
And then anything that General Motors has. General Motors has a Silverado coming out, do they not?
Yeah, I had mentioned I had test drove that out in Vegas, the Silverado EV. But I was test driving the work truck. But we also have there's another one, the Silverado EV RST, and that's like a higher trim line. And then eventually they're going to come out with lower trim lines and so on. But you'll be able to charge. You'll be able to have a tailgate, literally from the bed of your truck, be able to power your TV, a blender, microwave. And that was like a light bulb aha for me, where I'm like, a lot of people who like to go tailgating, who like to go out camping, this is going to be huge for people like that. Now the Silverado EV, and then the Rivian, the Cybertruck, and that Ford F-150. Now, if you're going to say which one I like the most, like just by looking, I'm going to say Silverado, just because I've seen it in, like, the way it looks in person. Oh, and you got the Hummer too. You got the Hummer truck. So we can throw that in too. Now, just by looks, I would say the Hummer. Then I would say Silverado. And then we'll go Rivian. I like the looks of the Rivians. Ford F-150. And then that's the Tesla Cybertruck. I don't know. I have to see that in person.
I'm not a fan of that Cybertruck look either.
I have to see it in person to really give my really grade on it. But those would be like the ones I like the most, just by looking at them. But that Ford F-150, now that's a nice truck. You know, that's a sleek truck. I'm not here to hate on any other companies or anything. I'm gonna clap when it's time to clap. So it's like, that's a sleek looking truck. Now here's where I think GM has the leverage. Our Ultium platform, right? So we use the same Ultium type of battery platform for all of our EV cars. So when it's time for us to change a model or change anything on it, we won't have to go and change like the battery or change any type of like functionality of that, because it's all on one Ultium platform. Other companies don't have that. You know, the Ford, the Lightning doesn't have the same type of battery for their, I don't even know if they have any other EVs coming. That's the thing there. They only got the Lightning, right? So what else is Ford?
The Mustang, the Mach.
Oh, yeah, the Mach. Oh, yeah, the Mach. See, I honestly think the Blazer, wait till you see the Blazer EV. That's going to make the Mustang, I think that's going to be, the that's going to give the Mustang Mach EV a run for its money.
Right.
I really do. And it's obviously, it's got the Motor Trend, the SUV Motor Trend of the Year. So I think they're in the same category with that Mustang. So those two, Ford's only got two. And GM's right. got three brands that's got a lineup of EVs and ICE vehicles that are coming. So, but Rivian, beautiful. And you got, you know, Lucid, you know, I don't know if they're going to come out with a truck one day. Who knows? So those are
what I found really interesting.
Go ahead.
What I found really interesting on the F-150 Lightning, like you mentioned about the Silverado, having that like ability to power up at the tailgate. And obviously the F-150 has been the best-selling truck in North America for actually best-selling vehicle in North America for what, 40 or 50 straight years, right? And so I'm looking at that F-150 Lightning seeing that power at the back, and they've really been selling it as like, you know, it could be your construction work vehicle. You can power all of your tools right there. You can plug in your skill saw. You can repower your batteries for your drills and impact drivers and all of that, and really trying to sell it as a work truck, which obviously the F-150, the Silverado, the Dodge Ram have all been work trucks for
years. Decades.
Yeah, so I like that idea of the way they're positioning themselves in the market to like make it look like an F-150. It looks identical to any other F-150,
right?
But then have it. You know, functional as a work truck. And then I think you've also mentioned it with the GM models, but it's my understanding that they have that directional power as well. So like if the power were to go out in your house, like it did to you 40 minutes ago,
literally like lights flickered. I'm like, whoa,
you could power your house from the vehicle. A certain number of time, obviously, depending on how much battery charge you have in the vehicle at the time. So I think there's some really interesting things coming in the EV market for sure.
Yes, and they're consistently working on it. They're consistently putting in the hours, the screen hours, to develop and be innovative with this technology. You know, they're investing a lot of money, not just GM, but you go look at Tesla's and you look at these companies, R&D, you can see who's really putting in the research and development into grow the company to help grow. And that's one metric that I really, really look at. You know, for a company that's a growth company, you know, the R&D, what are they really putting into the research and development of the company to help grow? Because that's, you know, what's key.
So how does that look, though, on the balance sheet when you look at Ford, GM, and, you know, the traditional automakers, if you will? And right now I'm seeing a lot of things where they're saying, you know, they're pouring so much money into the art, like you said, R&D of the EVs, that they're losing a lot of money on the overall balance sheet. And, you know, they're still really relying on the sales of the ICE vehicles to, you know, keep them above water.
Yes. And I mean, it's not keeping anyone above water. I mean, if you look at the earnings report, I mean, from GM, we beat our last earnings, showing, you know, growth and profitability. So, and customers, the demand is there. You know, customers are still coming in, purchasing vehicles. So, like, it's not so that we're losing money. It may look like it up front. You know, the media is going to make it whatever they want to make it. So,
yeah,
you have
the media is very good at twisting their stories to how they want their stories presented, right?
Yeah, and it's not, I'm not saying that they're wrong. You know, but there's always two ways to read a sentence, you know, so like, you know, every sentence is not going to look the same to everybody. So with that being said, you have to know that going in as an investor, you have to know when you invest in these companies, like an automotive company, that it's very cyclical. Like they're going to have their good times. And I feel like you kind of have to time when companies are starting, like automotive companies are starting to be innovative. When they're starting to change and go into a new market, they're chasing something. Everyone's chasing the EV market. It's who's going to have the most growth and capture by times the first year of all these incentives go through. All, you know, there's all these types of, you know, metrics that they're chasing and trying to check off. So, and they're also preparing themselves. There's a lot of preparation that goes into for a lot of dealerships to get ready to be, you know, ready for EVs. You know, the battery companies have to go out and set up all the chargers. You know, tires get flat, things like that happen. You know, things like that happen on the job where it's like delays happen with parts and all of that stuff. So it just slows up the progress. But we're here talking about it, you know, promoting it, and you're like, all right, but where is everything? You know, you guys are saying there's going to be a fireworks show.
Infrastructure.
We only see the sparklers right now. Where's the fireworks? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's more so being patient and in this market, like the automotive. That's the more, that's all I see. And that's why I can see why a lot of people don't like investing in it. It's very cyclical. You know, I mean, look at Tesla. From 2022, it went all the way, what, $400? Now it's all the way down here to 219. You know, so it's a very cyclical market. Same thing with GM stock. I'm going to take a look here and pull up GM. And I can guarantee GM went from, 2022, $60. Now we're down here at $29.77. It's just been fighting.
Dropped in half.
Yes, completely dropped in half. Now,
do you see that as a good entry point for GM?
Yes. Not financial advice.
Are you biased because you work for the company?
No. But I really do like the stock, though. I really do like the company, not because I work for them, but I had did research on GM, you know, earlier this year before I really, you know, before I got into my job. So I was really looking, and I like the Ultium platform. There's something that I like about the company. It's something that I can say, hey, this is what I like. I don't care about the price. When people figure this out and understand how important this is, the market's going to love it. They're not loving it right now, which is fine. It's the automotive industry. It's, once again, it's very cyclical. It's very tough to be in.
You also
haven't been there for very long either. I'm going to be honest with you. So I got into GM at $33. I'm down 15%. I got into Tesla at $196. I'm going to continue to buy GM, and I'm going to continue to, you know, buy Tesla. And I know SCHD has Ford, so there we go.
Right. You're covered.
Yeah.
Before we move on from automotive, I do want to just touch on one more subject in the automotive sector.
Go ahead.
We mentioned ICE vehicles briefly, which internal combustion engine, sort of obviously the much more traditional, you fill up the gas or diesel in your fuel tank. And you've also mentioned how like innovative and the nature of the industry being cyclical. So is there anything new and exciting that you see in any new or upcoming ICE vehicles?
So we got a whole new line of Silverado ZR2s, you know, some big trucks, some big meaty ones. They look really, really nice. And then we got a new Equinox that's going to be coming out soon. And we also have an Equinox EV that's going to be coming out soon too. So, and we still have the Blazer truck, and then we're going to also have the Blazer EV. So I like our current ICE vehicles that we have right now, you know, the Trax, the Trailblazer. The Blazer, those are our like highest volume vehicles, and you'll start seeing the commercials for GM. I don't know if you start seeing them, but like it'll be like a commercial for like introduce you to the family. So it's going to be like a commercial where people are coming home for Thanksgiving, and everyone's going to be arriving in a different type of Chevy vehicle, and you'll see the family of all of our, you know, our ICE or engine vehicles. I keep saying ICE. Sorry, guys.
Okay, I know what you mean.
I love our current, you know, ICE vehicles. Now I like the Silverados. Those trucks are extremely cool. And then you got the Colorado too. So yeah.
Awesome. Cool. I think it's really neat how they're aligning, like sort of, I guess similar to the F-150, but you know, you have your Silverado ICE, your Silverado EV, you have your Blazer ICE, you have your Blazer EV.
And yeah. It's more so. not like forcing it. You're not going to, you know, you're not, I don't think we're going to, I don't think our vision is to force anyone to, when they get to our dealership, to say, hey, this is what, this is it. This is it. Or nothing else. Yeah. You know, we're going to have some type of options. So yeah, we'll, and then we'll see where the future takes us from there. You know, if the market goes off and, you know, we start having a huge demand for EVs, and you know, that's where the time will take us. So that's what I think. I don't know. I could, like I said, we're just sitting here talking on a Saturday just about the EV.
No, it's been an amazing conversation so far. And I didn't realize we were going to spend so much time talking about the automotive sector, both EVs and ICE engines, but I really appreciate that we have talked so much about it, because again, you're, you know, being in the industry, you're very knowledgeable of what's happening. So I really appreciate that. I really appreciate you sharing that knowledge with me and the audience. Yeah, let's quickly move on before we run out of time, because I know that you and I are the type of people we could talk about investing in stocks and dividends for hours on end.
Oh, no, we're good. We got time. We got time today.
Nice. Yeah, let's talk about a few other things. You mentioned SCHD, and I know that you're building up a position there like so many others. You mentioned being in Vegas, and so I saw in one of your recent tweets that Vici is in your portfolio. Mm-hmm. So those are both like ETFs, or is Vici more of a REIT, or how would you describe? I guess
so. Vici is a REIT. They have properties all over the United States, some in Canada too, but mainly they got properties out in Vegas, Caesars, I think MGM too, Venetian. So those type of properties, and you know, they got like Greektown in Detroit. They got some stuff out in Atlantic City. So in high revenue parts of the country where huge casinos are, Vici is normally on the block, and you know, with like hotels and gaming facilities. I think they got some golf courses in there as well. But love the company. I mean, continuously to grow every single quarter. You know, AFFO. You know, revenue is continuing to grow, acquisitions. So, and you know, that with the high interest rates right now, it's just only creating an opportunity for, you know, for Vici right now, you know, for under 30 bucks, honestly. That's right. Where I've been striking it at. So right now I've got a 121 shares of Vici right now. Trying to get to 200 by this time next year, so
yeah,
we'll see. Mm-hmm. I really do like the company. Great dividend growth. The CEO talks really great about the company. We hear him on different types of interviews. I think he was on an interview with Brad Thomas and with Joseph Carlson, and yeah, he speaks very great about the company. I like, you know, the future of it. Mm-hmm.
Good. And then SCHD, just kind of same thing, just sort of accumulating.
I just recently hit 100 shares of that one. I'm going to let that one chill out. And then I'm going to start. I just started up a new position in a DGRO, dividend growth ETF, mainly carries a lot of Apple, Microsoft type of companies. So I'm going to shoot for 100 shares of that one by end of 2024. But yeah, love SCHD. I know it's not getting the love in the stock market right now, but the companies that are in there, name a company that a dividend investor wouldn't love to own in that company, you know, wouldn't own a share of that company. So that's
in the SCHD basket, you mean?
Yeah, in the SCHD. Yeah, in the ETF. So it's
right. Yeah,
I would love to own all of those companies, you know, but I can't like go out and buy them. So SCHD just gives me the opportunity to do that. And it's got solid dividend growth. Now I know everyone screams like, dividends aren't free, or you can't dividends is this and that. Yeah, that's totally fine. I'm gonna find out here in 10, 20 years after I just let these dividend payments compound, and then we can talk then. And then we can also, you know, got Amazon and Apple. So those are, you know, growth, you know, my growth stocks there for me. So right. Yeah, I still believe in SCHD, and so does SCHD Stan and everyone else, you know, who's been buying SCHD too. So it's a great ETF, and I look forward to when the market recovers. You know, the value stocks are really gonna ride. So, and that's how it goes with investing. You know, value always wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, You mentioned Amazon, and I think you saw the short, like 30 or 40 second video I posted of the new Amazon warehouse that opened up in near me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't see that? So it's a 1 million square foot warehouse, brand new.
It just opened up
like the beginning of October, so like just a month. It's a month old basically now.
Okay.
And so where I'm located is a relatively small city in Canada, or I'm outside the city, but the Amazon warehouse is in the industrial park of the city. And yeah, 1 million square feet, brand new. It's obviously like mind blowing, a warehouse that size, but it just kind of tells you like sort of the path that Amazon, well, has been on now for 20 years, but is continuing to be on for the next 15, 20, 30 years. Right.
Yeah. And you can see it, you know, in the earnings report. They're consistently beating earnings, consistently, you know, growing revenue. Now they just now implemented, you know, they've invested, I think, like $1 billion or so into an AI company that's going to help with their AWS. And that's my thing right there, where I'm like, that's why Amazon's, buying my book, not in financial advice, but... But they're innovative. They're innovative with they're going to go into AI, and they're also trying to slow down the delivery time. You know, not slow it down, but speed up.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get it to you
quicker. How can they get any faster? Like, you order something on Amazon at 6 o'clock at night, and it's at your front door at 5 o'clock the next morning.
But there's still some parts of the country where it's not there that quick.
Yeah. Well, especially in Canada, if you're somewhere in northern Saskatchewan, yeah, it's going to take longer to get to you, right? But
100%. I think they're going to start shooting rockets. Amazon packages.
Actually, drone deliveries. I can see them doing that, right?
They're actually doing – that's what I was going to say next is that in Texas, they're starting to do drone deliveries for, like, medical stuff. And that's another way that they're going to be – that's another way for them to be innovative, to take over. I mean, name another company that is doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and I just got here too. Revenue exceeded expectations by $1.5 billion for Amazon. They just hired an extra 200,000 workers for the holiday season.
Wow.
Yeah. And here, looking on my scanner here, they have it fair valued at $155. Margin of safety, 12%. So basically, if you get in right now, I was saying get in at 118, if you're really asking me. When it was 118 about last week or a couple weeks ago, I think it got down right under 120. That was a buy for sure. Right now, it's still saying, you know, it's a safe way to get in, safe time to get in. And it's priced out to go to 170. So you're still looking at a 22%. Gain from here if you're thinking about getting into Amazon. And if you're not thinking about getting into Amazon, you should go to your phone and delete the app. Do that. That's how you should know if you should buy Amazon. Go on your phone and delete the app. And if you don't want to go do it, then you go buy share.
Yeah, that's
how about that?
That's an interesting way of putting it, because nobody's gonna go and delete the app. And like, I barely ever buy anything off Amazon. Simply because I try to keep my spending to
check. No. I feel you.
It's very easy to just, you know, click on that Prime logo and be like,
it looks like it's smiling at you.
And I need this and I need this. And you know, it's going to 99% of the time, it's going to be there the next morning, right?
100%. And they already have it ready for you in a distribution center near you. That's what they should be saying. But they have one cool metric that I like on my Stock Rover screener that I use. The PEG 4, it's like the price to earnings growth for the future compared with the price to earnings now. And if it gives it a number at 1 or below, stock is really, really like value. And Amazon's got a 0.8 PEG forward compared to, let's just say, Apple, who has a PEG forward of, there we go.
Okay. Yeah.
PEG forward of 4.1. So it's saying Apple's expensive. You know what I'm saying? So they, even they're saying Apple is supposed to go to 166, 62. So Apple could be in a downward trend. But I knew Apple was going to get whacked with something, and the market was going to be like, yep, this is why you guys suck, Apple. You guys suck. It's like, no, they don't suck. This is what Apple's doing right now. They're over in India, growing. That's where they had their highest revenue in India, right there, this past quarter.
Right.
They're also going to be looking to do the foldable iPad here by 2026. They've been in talks with LG, and they're thinking of doing a foldable MacBook Pro. Then I think that's when they're going to come out with that foldable iPhone. The foldable industry, Samsung, just like Tesla is with the home energy, has got a huge market cap, market share of that. Captured a huge amount of it, and they're just making money. The foldable game is people are wanting it, especially over in emerging markets. It's something like that people are over in India and stuff like that are taking a chance on purchasing.
Right.
It's going to happen here as soon as Apple comes with a foldable iPhone in America. They're just waiting on the perfect time to have the perfect product to release it out to us. Now, will they have problems as soon as they release it? Of course. But name something Apple hasn't fixed.
Right.
Name a time you went to the Apple store and you were like, I'm actually unsatisfactory with my service. I actually didn't leave with my product fixed. You know? So it's like they're innovative. Once again, they're profitable. I think they have 162 million or something, or billion or something like that in cash on hand. You know, they say that's down a little bit, but I'm like, that's still a lot of cash on hand.
This morning on Twitter/X. I'm not sure if you were the one who posted it, but it was basically the post was Apple has enough cash on hand that they could just buy Disney outright.
Yeah, so I'm just not worried, you know, and Apple is a stock where you just got to get in it and just get in. You know, it's not, you got to quit trying to time it and look at different, all the metrics. And all that's going to do is just psych you out.
Yeah.
You know,
just get into it and just dollar cost average
right in. And especially you have, and I like getting in, especially companies when they're in a downward trend. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know, that's going to make me buy it even more, because as soon as it starts running up, guess what people are not going to want to do? Not going to want to touch it.
Yeah.
Especially me. So when I see green and the portfolio's moving, I'm like, I am not, nope, staying away from you today. So, but that's just my look on investing. And I feel like that's what I've learned a lot, you know, the last year. It's like, you just got to just get in, honestly. Yeah. It ain't no timing and trying to wait for the perfect price and the perfect news, the perfect earnings.
Because it's never perfect.
It's never perfect, you know. So, and in the market, look what the market's done the last 5 days. Amazon went up 10% in a week. In 1 week, it's done 10%. So if it could do that for another 8 weeks, I mean, not saying it's going to, but that'll be pretty crazy returns, right?
Right.
So that's, you know, it's not good to, you know, time the market. You just got to get in and know that the company that you're buying is like a legit company, not the price. The price is going to go up and down every day, but the company's, you know, plan and the forward guidance, the earnings, that stuff is solid. Like, that stuff is what's going to move you and sell you down the line. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just Apple and Amazon, but there's so many amazing American companies that you could easily put into that same kind of idea of, you know, your Home Depots, your Lowe's, your Coca-Cola's, your McDonald's, and like the list just goes on and on and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, hey, if I'm investing, I can't find the perfect time, because it's never always, everything's perfect. You just, like you said,
never.
You just got to get in, just get started. My saying, going back to Moneyball, just get on base, right? Just get on base no matter what. So yeah, that's, and like I said, whether it's Apple, Amazon, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Home Depot, Costco, Walmart, whoever you're picking, like, you know, those are strong companies that have been around for decades, and highly unlikely that any of them are going anywhere in the next several decades.
Nope. And they have pricing power, brand power. You know, it's like when people ask me, should I invest in Apple? Yes. You got an Apple phone in your hand? Yeah. I mean, why not own a share in Apple? You already got an $800, $900 device in your hand or $1,000 device.
Right.
Why not own one share of the company? Or if you think the do you think Apple's going to go down? Throw your phone in the water. just ask basic questions like that. No, Apple's not. No, it could. Yeah, every company has the potential to go to zero. But like Apple and companies like Apple and Amazon have so much skin in the game and so much power and so much money that they'll buy you before they even see you coming down, before you even can see them. Like they'll buy you to join the team, you know, and that's all that companies want to do anyway. Who doesn't want to join the Apple team and Amazon team if I get bought out by Apple or Amazon for my product?
Right.
So I think the deal is good.
And I would say not just throw your phone in the water, throw your AirPods, throw your throw your MacBook, throw it all in the water, right?
Mac,
and you're going to do that. Nobody who is an Apple person, personally, I'm not. I actually have a Samsung, and I'm
Team Samsung.
Pardon me.
I said Team Samsung.
Yeah, right there, the old Galaxy S20 Note. It's a couple years old, but it's still a good phone.
I think I got an iPhone 10. This thing is like, it's so old. It's got like a crack. It's got like a couple of cracks going through the screen. I'm really running my Twitter account off this horrible iPhone.
Nice.
Oh man, I need to upgrade, but I'm like, no, I don't want it.
Cool. Speaking of Twitter, I'm going to share a couple of your social media links here. Here is And I will post the link to the link tree in the description below. Here's the link to the YouTube channel.
Okay.
And the Investing on a 9-to-5 podcast that you and Paul, it's Paul, correct?
Yes, Paul. Yep.
And then the link to your Twitter right there as well. So like I said, I will have the link in the description below.
Heck yeah. Dave, before we get off, what's been going on with you?
Oh man. Just dollar cost averaging into some of my the positions I picked about a year ago, last December. I've really focused this past year on one of the Canadian banks and one of the major Canadian telecoms. Okay. I just quickly there's your Twitter as well. I'll put that link in the profile.
Oh yeah.
I'll talk more about what I'm doing here, but I just want to make sure I get all your socials shared over here. So and
here's
the investment 9-to-5 on YouTube. And I think you also have it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere else, right?
Yep, I do.
Okay, so yeah, all those links will be in the description. So check out Investing on a 9-to-5. Check out Dividend Dog on Twitter/X. But yeah, going back to what I've been doing for the last year is you've heard me say turn that cash register around. So I pay my cell phone bill to Bell Canada. They're still the biggest telecom provider in Canada. And okay. So yeah, I've been really focusing on dollar cost averaging into that company. And you know, they pay a nice dividend. Mm-hmm. I have to check the yield right now, but it's nice. Actually BCE trades on New York as well. So if you look it up, you're going to find the US dollar price. And then same with Scotiabank, one of the big five Canadian banks, ticker symbol BNS. Same thing, it trades in New York. So when you look that up, you're going to find the US dollar price. Just dollar cost averaging primarily into those two.
Okay.
And then there's a few others that I've just kind of picked up because I just have them in my portfolio and they're sort of like a $5 or $8 stock that pays a dividend. So once I'm done, like say buying 3 or 5 shares of my other stuff and I have like $5 left in my brokerage, I'm like, I'll pick up another share of that because it pays like
$0.02
dividend every month. And I'm like, for $5, I'm not going to say no to it kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I recently, speaking of something like that, I recently picked up Gain Investment or Gladstone, sorry, but ticker Gain. Something like that. It's like $14 where it pays a solid monthly dividend where I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll stick in here. But awesome. Dude, so BNS has a good price to earnings at 9.4. It's good.
Yeah. Well, all the big Canadian banks are, you know, tough to go wrong with them. You know, if you do invest in even the big six now with National Bank being included in that, against, you know, not financial advice, but Canadian banks paying dividends. BMO, Bank of Montreal, has been paying a dividend since 1829. Bank of Nova Scotia since 1832 or 33. So, you know, coming up on 200 years of history of dividend payments, it's right.
That's rich. That's you call dividends history right there, people. Like, like they've been paying dividends before dividends was even a word.
Pretty much, right? And then I think out of the big five, Royal Bank, which is actually the biggest bank in Canada, but they've been paying a dividend since, I believe, 1870. So,
my God.
Yeah, so they're quite a ways off from the 200-year anniversary, but they're still over 150 years, right? So,
yeah. Man, that is... could you imagine that in, like, 50 years or something? They've been paying... Oh, man. That is...
Okay, I've got a skill testing question for you before we end off.
Ooh.
Speaking of those, thinking of those dates, Bank of Montreal, 1829, Bank of Nova Scotia, 1833, we'll say, and Royal Bank, 1870. What year did Canada become a country?
1873.
Close. Very good guess. 1867.
Ah! God. 1867, I'll write that down.
Canada. Yeah, so I've actually had a few other American guests on, and when we get talking about that topic, I bring up that question because I know for the majority of Americans aren't going to know the answer to that. So it's just a fun little trivia side note.
Yeah, no, I like doing trivia. Every time I go to Starbucks, they always have the little trivia like thing, like questions as you're like waiting, and I always like to guess. I'm like, I like trivia. You always learn something. You literally learn something in 30 seconds. If you either you're right or you're wrong, you always like it's not like no one's gonna make fun of you. So it's like to learn, just learn something. Cool facts.
And you so never the know interesting part about that though, Canada becoming a country in 1867, mm-hmm. and then them paying dividends since 1829, 1833, they were paying dividends for 40 years before Canada was even a country.
How is that even possible?
Well, they at the time they would have had to register as a business to begin with England, right? With Great Britain. I don't know how. Obviously, I wasn't around back then, but so I don't know exactly how it worked. But yeah, and then I've also thought about this too. Like literally, so were they paying like grapes, you're going or... to the bank. You're riding your horse to the bank.
Yeah, like what were they giving out for? Like they giving out coins? Like who is keeping track of this? Whoever was keeping track of that back then was
like on paper, like with a like pencil and paper on a ledger, and
someone had this idea back in the 80s. That's how crazy investing, like just the theory and the thoughts of investing in earning a dividend or earning something back for not doing anything,
or earning
something for helping a company or something like that. It's just, yeah, just like that sort of thought, how it's evolutioned itself to this here.
But yeah, like I said, extremely amazing that they've been paying that dividends for that long. Before we sign off, I'm going to quickly give a shout out here to buyinvestingshirts.com. Receive a free passive income posse, turn that cash register around coffee mug with any purchase over $100 Canadian. Before taxes and shipping at buyinvestingshirts.com. Use code word posse for 5% discount on your purchase. Link in the description. So all of you American people, you need to hop on that. $100 million. That's like 73 US dollars.
Look at that, guys.
Nice over there. Buy investing shirts, hoodies, t-shirts, all caps, dividend t-shirts, all sorts of, there's Bitcoin merchandise, coffee mugs, all sorts of different designs on different coffee mugs, but you will get a free one by using the link in the description below. So definitely shout out to buyinvestingshirts.com. And before we sign off, because I see we're already going to be at an hour here right shortly, is there anything else you want to talk about or touch on?
No, just guys, just keep dollar cost and averaging into the stocks. I mean, just whatever you do, making sure the company is profitable. You know, they've been having good earnings, and yeah, I mean, price actions, you know, the market's been very volatile and going down here the past, you know, like couple of months, but hopefully, you know, with this last week here, we can start to see some positive trajectory, you know, to finish the end of the year. But yeah, keep dollar cost and averaging and keep getting those dividend checks, folks. Thanks for having me on, Dave. This is awesome.
Yeah, thank you again so much for your time. Truly appreciate you coming on and spending time with me again. Definitely would love to have you back again. Definitely would love to have you on another live stream coming up soon.
Yeah, and, for sure, man. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you everyone who has watched. If you're still here over an hour later, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe.